Again, from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And now hear the word of God. A leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the town, but was out in desolate places. He was at desolate places. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he had to go to desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. Have you ever felt unclean? I mean, just utterly filthy. I remember one day having played in the dirt and the mud. As I came to the house to enter in for dinner that night, my mother sternly said to me in that voice, I knew she meant business, "Stop right there. Paul, your son is a filthy pig." My father came outside, had me stripped down naked in our backyard on our porch, pulled out the garden hose, and squirted me down. Drying me off, he handed me off to my mother, who whisked me into the bathroom where a warm tub of silly bubbles was waiting for me, and bathed me and cleansed me and made me whole once again. Now that type of uncleanliness is easily taken care of. And I want to talk, though, about another type of uncleanliness that's not so easy to take care of. It's the uncleanliness of sin. For try as we might, we cannot wash away sin and guilt. We're shackled with a heavy burden. We're loaded with a world of cares. And to make matters worse, we're not just unclean from our own sin, but from the sins of others. And then to complicate things even more, we know that awful truth, that our sin is contagious, and it breeds even more sin in others. We see this in the heartbreaking reality of victims who have been abused. Oftentimes, we find them trying to wash away in a compulsive fashion the sin and the sin that was committed against them, but all to naught. For sin and guilt and shame cannot be washed away with soap and water and silly bubbles. It's this dynamic of sin that lies behind our text and the old covenant laws, which are the background of what was happening with this leprous man. For he was unclean according to the laws of Moses. And oftentimes when we as modern readers read our Old Testament, we're confused by all these ceremonial cleansing laws we find there. For certain foods were clean, and other foods were unclean. If you had a bodily discharge of any kind, or if you had a skin disease such as leprosy, you were unclean. And worse yet, if anyone touched you, they would become unclean. And the consequence of being unclean is that you could not enter into the assembly of God's people. You couldn't worship with them. And remember, the word assembly is the New Testament word which we translate as church. And so they couldn't worship with God's people. They couldn't be in church, so to speak. They were separated from people and from God. I think from the perspective of most modern readers, they find these laws not only puzzling, but cruel and unfair. For imagine being such a person as this leprous man. You're excluded from society. No one can touch you and you can't touch them. Their life was a life of shame, guilt, and loneliness. But these laws were not meant to be cruel. They were meant to be a way of revealing to us the unseen reality of sin. For they reveal to us the true nature of sin. First, that sin keeps us away from God. It prevents us from worshiping God as we truly should, because God is clean. God, as we see revealed to us again and again in Scripture, is holy. But not just holy, but as Isaiah says in the superlative, God is holy, holy, holy. He's not just a little holy, but He's so holy, His eyes cannot look upon sin. And secondly, those cleanliness laws reveal to us the horrible reality that I spoke of earlier, that sin is contagious. That when we sin, it doesn't just affect us, but it has a ripple effect and it affects others. We see this most clearly in the sin of Adam, but it's true for all of our sins. Even your smallest sin, the sin that you would not label a peccadillo or a little white lie or just a little error of some kind, it can run out of control and have effects you never dreamed of, like the proverbial pebble that falls down the mountainside and causes an avalanche. Even the smallest, most inconsequential sin in your eyes can have catastrophic results. But finally, and most tragically of all, it does make it clear, these cleanliness laws, that all of us are unclean. All of us are sinners. As Isaiah 54 verse 6 says, we've all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Oh, they take us away. They take us away from God and the ones we love the most. And these powerful unseen realities are what explains the condition our world is in. You know, people today, I hear them say, I don't understand what's going on. They see a shooting in a school. And they say, I don't understand what's going on in people's lives. They see a poor baby being abandoned by their mother in a garbage bin. They say, I don't understand what's going on. They see a woman raped and abused by her husband. And people say, I don't understand what's going on. But we should understand. We should understand this unseen reality. And these laws were intended to help us to see ourselves in those who were unclean like this man. Any good rabbi should have understood this. For they studied the law of Moses intently, and they should have known that these laws were not about food and drink and leprosy and bodily discharges, but what they were really about was sin. And the fact that many, many rabbis in Jesus' day didn't understand this, but whether it used these laws of Moses to oppress and abuse people, that itself is a revelation to us of the ugly reality of sin, that yes, indeed, we all are unclean. But Jesus came into this world not simply to reveal to us what the Old Testament had revealed to us, but to reveal something new, something that no rabbi ever would have known that the Messiah, that Jesus, could not be touched by sin. You see, this is the real shocker of this text. Jesus touched this man. He touched this leprous man and was undefiled. This is unprecedented. He touched what was unclean. And rather than becoming unclean himself, this man became clean and was cleansed. See, his holiness is powerful. I've said earlier that sin is contagious, but there's something that's more contagious, and that is Jesus' righteousness. It's Jesus' holiness. Jesus is contagious, and his contagiousness is not sin, but righteousness. In the opening half of Mark's gospel, he's trying to establish Jesus' authority. We see this everywhere. For example, earlier in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, we see that his teaching amazed people with his authority. And his healing of others, especially those who were held in the power of unclean spirits, were another sign that he had authority. And then in chapter 2, if you would continue reading, you would see that he had authority to forgive sins. And here in our text, you see another example of his authority. The authority to come in contact with sin and to be undefiled. Now, what kind of authority am I talking about? What kind of authority is Mark trying to establish? He's establishing a divine authority. Because all those things that Mark points out when he uses that word authority, and yes, even what's done here, is something only God can do. And all these point to us that Jesus is God, that he is holy, holy, holy. And he has come to heal sinners. And that is the second great revelation of this text, is that when Jesus touches sinners, they are healed. Our uncleanliness, as I've said repeatedly, has separated us from God. But it doesn't separate God from us. You know, that's so important, I want to repeat it. Our sin separates us from God. But sin doesn't separate God from us. God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, came to this earth. He took on our flesh and blood to be touched by us, sinners, and to take away our uncleanliness. This is what's so amazing and so new about the new covenant. People in Jesus' time would have never expected it. People today still really don't believe it. Perhaps you don't believe it. Perhaps you're one of those people who don't believe that God can really, truly make you whole. You feel unclean. You, like this leprous man, right now feel isolated and fearful, lonely. You can't imagine anyone really loving you because you really know in your heart how unclean you really are. And so you live in fear. You live in fear of being known. And yet, as that old saying says, the catch-22, here is what makes you feel so isolated, because we all want to be known. But you don't want to be known, but you desire to be known. And so your loneliness even grows. And Jesus has come today, Mark is trying to tell us, to touch you, and to make you whole. The man in this text, I don't know what happened in his life to change it, but he clearly understood this. He was seeing what others couldn't see, and he was seeing what I hope you can see today. that Jesus has come to touch you and to heal you and to cleanse you of your sin. He came to Jesus saying, if you will make me clean. You can say the same to Jesus. If you will make me clean. You see, we see that Jesus is a God who has come to us in human flesh to touch us sinners in everything he did. Mark's gospel, again, is designed to show us this. The baptism of Jesus. He wasn't being baptized because he needed to repent like everyone else. He was without sin. But he was baptized so he could identify with us as those who were sinners, because he was going to be touched by our sin on the cross. For he who was without sin was made sin, as Scripture says, for us. And that cross shows us how clearly Jesus came to touch us. And may I add that today, I think one of the reasons why Jesus gave his church the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to remind us that Jesus is here today to touch you. To touch you. To remind you that when Jesus touches sinners, they're here. They're healed. And so, I want to conclude by urging you to come to Jesus and to be touched by him. You know, I don't know what your past week has been like, but I'm sure that just like me, your life has been touched by sin. It was touched by your own sin. It was touched by the sins of others that was committed against you. We live in a world full of sin. It's all around us. It's touching us all the time. And today, however, we come here to be touched by Jesus in the Lord's Supper. The supper that he's given to his church. Some here might feel unworthy to take this sacrament because they feel unclean. And indeed, we're all unclean. For we all have, like sheep, gone astray and gone our own way, as Isaiah the prophet reminds us. However, God doesn't require you to step outside this church and be hosed down by a garden hose and then placed in a bathtub full of silly bubbles before you can come and take this sacrament. No, he invites you as one who's unclean to be touched by Jesus and to be made clean. In our hymn of preparation today, we're going to be singing that old hymn, Come, You Sinners. And you'll note as you sing in a moment these words, do not let consciousness make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. For if you tarry, you will not be better, and you will never come at all. What the hymn is saying is, you may try to scrub and scrub and scrub to make yourself worthy of God, and you will never cleanse yourself by your own efforts. The only way you can be made clean is to be touched by Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be touched by Jesus. For as we sang just a few moments ago, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And so to each and every one of you, I urge you, everything in my heart, come to Jesus and be touched by him. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do pray that you would come now into our lives and touch us by your power and your grace. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that has come to us to remind us that you are the God who has come to us to give us salvation through his name. Amen. And now